would you rather be than sat on Zoom? Okay, but we're sat on Zoom because we've got some fantastic speakers who could literally change your life. I don't say that lightly. I've seen the lineup, it's incredible. Now, I should do a disclaimer before I kick this off. So, I know nothing about property. In fact, I am probably to property as Kim Kardashian is to Neolithic history. Okay, so I am here to learn with you this afternoon. I am a strategist, and we'll come on to that later and how I can help you. But first of all, now it's a slight change, as Jack has mentioned, to the lineup, but this is very exciting. So we have Mike Bristow coming up now. So he is the CEO and co-founder of Crowd Property. So some of you may know this already. It's the UK's leading specialist property development lending platform. And Jack tells me, this is incredible. I think it's true. Jack tells me you've already lent £500 million worth of collateral that's helping people. So, but I'm going to let Mike tell you more about that. So if I can hand over to you, Mike. It's a real pleasure.
Thank you, Natasha. Thank you, Jack. Really pleased to be here. I'm really impressed, everyone, on such a lovely day as well to come along and listen to a fantastic lineup that Jack's put together. So it's a real honor to be here. I'm just going to pop my shared screen up. One sec. Okay, can you see that? Yep, perfect, perfect. Okay, great. Well, as I said, fantastic to be here. I've got some really interesting content for you here today, and you would have heard from Paul earlier about how to find sites. Okay. Well, once you've found them, then funding them is one of the all-important pieces. And Jack and his team are great at finding the brilliant funders in the market. And what I wanted to do today is bring to you a bit more about what are some of the challenges, what are some of the pains of funding your property projects, and actually how do we structure our business to solve that. But most importantly, I'm going to give you some tips on applying for development finance. One of the biggest barriers for property developers is, you know, they're great at finding sites, they're great at delivering sites, they're great at exiting sites, they're great at getting all of that complex stuff done, but finance is not necessarily their strong suit. And there's lots of reasons for that historically, and we'll dig into that a little bit through my presentation to the sort of pitfalls of that. But firstly, just as a little bit of context, we founded Crowd Property back in 2013. We started lending at the end of 2014. And I'm going to put up a quick clip in a bit that highlights some of the numbers. But why did we do that? Well, the three co-founders, one of whom you've heard from earlier, Simon, Andrew, and myself, we actually said, well, look, isn't it a pain, quite frankly, in the ass to raise finance for your property projects? It's difficult, it's complex, it's ridden with challenges. Okay. And we said, well, look, let's bring greater transparency, let's bring greater speed, certainty, ease, etc., to this market. So we set up this lender and have grown into, as Natasha says, the UK's leading specialist property development lending platform. I'm going to pop up a video just to get us started, just to wake us up after lunch with some beats. So turn the volume up. It might be a bit jumpy through Zoom, don't worry about that, but I'll be testing you on the numbers and keep pay attention, they move pretty fast. So here we go. So I hope you're kept up there. One of the annoying things about our business is as soon as we write down a number, it's out of date. So as Natasha said, we backed very nearly £500 million worth of property projects now. That only happens if you serve customers brilliantly, okay? And because so much of our business is retained business. So people come back because they realize and understand how differentiated our service and our proposition is supporting the likelihood of success of your project. And that's the key thing. We founded this because banks never appeared to be a partner to us as developers, right? We wanted to build a partner, much like you have a partner in an architect, a planning consultant, a QS, a project manager, etc. We wanted to really be a partner on your team to increase the probability of success. And a couple of things that came across in that video, Deloitte recognized us as one of the fastest growing technology businesses in the UK. The Financial Times acknowledged us as number 132 fastest growing business in Europe, but that's not the stat I like. I like the next stat, which is the 13th fastest growing fintech in Europe and 16th fastest growing financial services business. And as I say, this only happens if you serve customers brilliantly. Then last year, we recognized there were very similar pains for developers finding finance for their projects in Australia. And we launched in Australia, and actually next Friday, in 6 days' time, I'm going down to Australia to be with our business and help drive that again. So we've got a team of 58 that are based in our office in the UK, in Birmingham. We've got a team of 8 also based in Sydney. So that's very exciting. And again, proving how scalable we are and actually how we can solve problems in many, many different markets. And last year as well, we closed a big institutional funding line. We've got hugely diverse sources of funding. At the start, we were a marketplace lending platform. Now the majority of our capital comes from global asset managers. And all of that is our decision. So we tell these people where we've put their money. They don't have a say. So it's our decision in our office, and we can be very quick, therefore, and put you in an advantage for your project. So what are we going to talk about today? So firstly, how we've changed the game of property project finance. And I'm going to give you a bit of insight as to what to look out for. What are the pains? What are the important things when you're looking for finance? And we're going to learn from relatively new developers and relatively experienced developers. It's always great to learn from the insights of experienced developers. I'll give you a flavor for the type of projects we fund. Well, as it says, spoiler alert, it's all types, but we've got some really cool projects to show you. There's nothing like a bit of real property pictures and case studies to bring things to life. I'll then run through some tips for your development finance application. This is difficult. This is a big barrier for many people. So I've asked my team, what are the sort of 6 or 7 tips to help you think about in when you apply for funding for your property project? Interestingly, also, we've launched an additional product line, which is mezzanine finance. It sits above our senior debt. So we take a senior debt position as Crowd Property. So it's replacing the bank, okay? Better service than the bank. Okay? And then we just released our mezzanine finance proposition, CP Capital, and I'll talk through just a little bit of that at the end. And I'm sure there'll be some questions flying around. I won't keep an eye on the chat, but I'm sure someone will, and I'm sure we'll cover some off. And I've got a very confident nod there from Natasha. So thank you very much. That's great. Good. Let's get stuck in. Just briefly on my background. Why am I here? Why did I co-found Crowd Property? Why am I CEO? So I spent about 18 years in a field called strategy consulting, which is a type of management consultancy. What that helps is big companies with their strategic growth, their 3 to 5 year growth plans, and it helps private equity funds acquire businesses and then work out how to grow those within 3 to 5 years to be ready for sale. And these are just some of the many, many different companies that I've worked very closely with. And you can see some very famous consumer brands like Unilever, Sainsbury's, M&S, etc. Then a lot of business to business brands lower down, like Whitbread, Thames Water, Cargill, some of those you won't have heard of necessarily. some real estate brands there, Foster and Partners. I worked on the economic case of the Thames Estuary Airport. It's the first time I've reported numbers in the trillions to a common select committee. And then also private equity funds, such as Bain Capital at the top right, Bain Capital, Blackstone, BC Partners, et cetera, who are buying those businesses. And many, many of the businesses we know are owned by private equity and they really drive the growth to flip for their funds. Why do I say all of that? It's a hugely varied background. And I'm bringing all of those learnings from great businesses and bad businesses and businesses that need a lot of improvement really into what we're doing at Crown Property. The other thing is I've been investing personally in property since 2002, so 20 odd years. I've built up a fairly significant portfolio in London and Southeast, a bit international as well. The international stuff taught me that you should focus on markets you know. That's a lesson number one for you. But also what I realized during that time was that technology could play a far greater part in the real estate asset class. It's the world's largest asset class. It's a physical asset class. We all know that sometimes it's a bit of a pain, right? Especially when we're buying, when we're managing, when we're tenanting, when we're trying to understand best data, et cetera, et cetera. So I started investing in property technology businesses, which are prop tech, was the term that was coined. So these are some of the businesses I've invested in, helped along the way. And that gives us huge insight into the latest cutting edge global technology trends. In applying those into Crown Property, and one in particular, top right there, Pi Labs. I sign off every single investment that venture capital fund makes, and that so I see some right across the globe, some incredible businesses evolving. So why do I say all of that? Well, that's a huge broad experience to really hone into creating Crown Property as a leading business. And the one piece that I think is most important is right at the beginning, I said, those consumer brands like Sainsbury's, M&S, Unilever, et cetera, what they were absolutely focused on was the customer. And I would argue, and I don't think I'd get much resistance, that financial services as a sector is weak at focusing on the customer. And that's where we're really differentiating. And that's where us as property people really add an edge. So let's step back a bit away from Crown Property, which I could bang on for hours about. Let's think about the market, okay? And let's think about property development and house building. Okay? So I'm going to take you right up to the top level on house building in the UK. I'm going to illustrate how severe this pain that we set up to solve was. Now, the one thing that the UK is brilliant at, spectacularly good, in fact, is building 200,000 homes a year. But there's a problem, because we need 340,000 homes a year. And this really illustrates some of the pain that exists in the country. So I'm going to show you some stats on this. So in 2008, sure enough, the country built 200,000 homes. In 2017, sure enough, the country built around 200,000 homes. But the really important thing here is this segment called small builders. Okay. Now, small builders represents people or companies who build between 0 and 100 homes. That sounds quite big, right? But the majority of people in this are building sort of 2, 3, 4, 5 up to about 20 homes a year. So that's the real rump of it. But look at this. Look at that dark pink segment. So in 2008, 30% of homes in this country were built by small builders. 2017, after the global financial crisis, and after all of that's played out, only 10%, right? And that's a real problem. The reason it's a real problem, because it was great in that in 2017 that large builders built more to compensate. We're still nowhere near enough. But the problem with large builders is they need large sites. And large sites are by definition finite in this country. Small sites, actually, you know, is almost infinite. Small infill sites, the small conversions, the small refurbishments, extensions to put more homes at the grassroots level into this country is almost infinite. So actually it's a real problem if we're not empowering small builders to deliver homes. So if you sort of extend that out and say, well, how do we deliver 300,000? You can't expect more from large builders. We need to unlock the potential of small builders. That's the key to this country. Now you can look at that and you say, right, nightmare industry, nightmare sector. Why would you ever go and support small builders? Because clearly it's dropping off a cliff. Just concentrate on serving large builders. Well, actually that's wrong, because you, I, etc., we can build great places. We can put homes in places where there aren't homes. And so there must be a reason. There must be a reason why this drop-off happened. So we do a lot of research, and we do that, and I'll refer to it a few times in this presentation. So customer surveys into the property developer sector. Right. And one of our questions to sort of test this a bit was this one. So, and this was hundreds of small and medium-sized builders. This was the biggest survey ever done to the small builder sector, because very few people listen to the small builder sector. And the question we asked was, which will enable you to build more homes? And we gave some options. And these were the results. Okay. Now, interestingly, okay, but let's go to number four here, improved tax policies. Number three, improved planning system. Well, that makes sense. And the government know that as well, because they're the two things they've been working on over the last 2 years through the pandemic and afterwards. You know, planning is a mess, tax policies, that's the stamp duty holiday. They know that this drives house building and confidence of house builders. Number two, an improving economy, that's a collective mission, if you like. So there's no single way to drive that. But overwhelmingly, number one, better sources of funding. So what these small builders need, better sources of funding. And that was exactly what we felt in 2013 and 2014. And we constantly validate that through our research. And this is exactly what we built Crowd Property to solve. Now, I'm going to dig a bit deeper into our survey research, because this can really help you when you're thinking about getting finance for property projects. So the next question, firstly, we run a lot of focus groups, okay? And focus groups are great. You sort of get six developers in a room, maybe in the evening, maybe it's over some dinner, maybe there's one or two drinks had as well. And that's excellent starting point for some research, right? So, and we do this a lot. And so mostly the first question is sitting down, intro's done, and then we ask them, tell us about your experiences with traditional sources of finance for your property project. So tell us about the banks you worked with in the past. Right? The first reaction is a load of swearing happens, which is quite entertaining. Then we have to sort of rein everyone back in, so I can't publish quotes that has general swearing all over it. And then we say, right, okay. Let's dig deeper. Let's understand why. Why have you got these so many frustrations? And I'm not going to go through all of these quotes. These resonate with so many people. Okay. And so what we hear is things like, it was all computer says no. 3 months later, they were still asking for more documents. Actually, someone said to me in one session, it's like, well, that I was presenting at, so it wasn't 3 months for me, it was 6 months. At the last minute, they presented me with a 40-page PG that cost me $3,000 for my solicitor to look through. I hate surprises, and there were many. They cut my LTV from 60% to 50% at the last minute. And so many things here, which are quite fundamentally sort of painful for everyone involved. One of the most important ones for me here is the bottom left. Their reaction to a clever deal was to lend me less and charge me more. Right. That's really interesting. That's really interesting. Banks are generous. They're generous lenders. They're not specialist property development lenders. Okay. And especially not specialist property developers looking to structure deals in a clever way that we go out there and look for deals on. You know, exchange delayed completion, subject to planning, option contracts, joint ventures, all of these really clever things and structural elements to putting together a property deal are really, really important. They add value, they create value, right? So when they don't understand something, a rational reaction from a finance provider is to lend less and charge more because they want to de-risk it, right? It is actually rational, okay? The thing is, it's the wrong approach, right? The right approach is to really understand that deal and say, do you know what? That's a cracking deal. Actually, I want to work with you even more, right? And that is where it's fundamentally linked to the point above, which is nobody understood property, right? A load of the banks are, sat in their ivory towers, they're wielding big sticks, and they're fundamentally bankers, right? They're not property people. They don't really understand that. Okay, and that's really important to you when you're seeking property finance. So let's dig a bit deeper further. Okay, so if you do, like we did, do focus groups like this, and then you need to order things and organize things and then work out what's most important to people. So that's when we structure things and then put it into wider online surveys. And this is where we take this point. Okay, so we take those things, we give them titles, right? And then we say to people online, build up a significant sample, and we say, when you raise finance for a property project on a scale, how important are the following factors? Right? And this is the overall answer set. And what people told us is most important, transparency. And I'll come back, what on earth does transparency mean? Well, I'll come back to that and I'll allude to that a bit more and explain it more. Transparency, speed, loan amount / max LTV, ease of use and access to decision makers. That sort of feels about right. Okay. So that's great, that's interesting. But we thought, when looking at this data, can we learn something about the difference of how relatively early stage developers and experienced developers think? And that's where we cut this data up. And that's what I'm going to show you, because it's great to learn from experienced developers. And it's great to understand how other less experienced developers think. So I've turned that other line to the gray line here is the overall answer set. This new green line here is the average of the answers from relatively inexperienced people. So people have done one or two projects. And so what we're looking for here is the spikes. So what's relatively more important to these people, right? What's relatively more important is loan amount, LTV, arrangement and exit fees, timing of fees, and interest rate, right? That makes sense, right? Those things are important because actually the thing that links them is the spreadsheet. So the spreadsheet, they're all inputs to the spreadsheet when you're saying, does this deal stack when I add finance into it, right? Again, this is rational, okay? This makes sense. Numbers are important because you don't want to proceed with projects that don't stack up. But the really interesting thing is when you ask more experienced people, so people who have done more than six projects, this is what they say. What they say is most important relatively, transparency, speed, ease of use, access to decision makers, and knowledge and expertise. Now, numbers are still important to those guys because they need to see a stacking deal. But what they want from their finance provider, based on a load of experience with other finance providers, is transparency, speed, ease of use, access to decision making. They want those things, right? Because they've been failed on those things in the past. And that's where those projects have come stuck and really been a challenge working with their finance supposed partner. So the takeaway from this for you is, let's think like more experienced developers, right? Let's think when we're piecing together our funders, okay? Let's make sure we're very clear on, are they transparent? Are they quick? Are they easy? Can you get to the decision makers? Okay, these are the questions you should be asking. Okay, so we took all of that, right? Sorry, I'm gonna come on to one thing first. I promised you I'd define what on earth transparency means, right? It's really important to experienced developers. So what on earth does it mean, right? It means a number of things, right? From this slide, if you're gonna take one thing away from this talk, it's basically be very careful and read the loan agreement, right? make sure you know. I'm going to come on to the detail in a second. But just as a bit of context, right? When someone, whether it's a bank, a non-bank lender or whatever, when they lend to you as a professional property investor, it is a professional loan, right? It's not governed by the FCA. The FCA is out there to protect, say, a consumer loan for a car, and then the bank behaves nastily and not fairly and they repossess the car or whatever, right? Okay, this is a professional loan. Okay, so they can write whatever they want into those terms. And guess what they do? So let me illustrate just one point. So we went out there and said, right, you know, and we've seen it before, lots of hidden fees, and lots of sort of, you know, bad practices generally. And one of those is, what is the interest rate when you go late on your project? And guess what? There are a load of people going late on their projects at the moment because, you know, tiles have a 30-week lead time at the moment, right? So this is risk management. You need to know this number. And the amazing thing is, so the people we asked, so we asked them, the last time you received property project finance, what was the default penalty interest rate? Now, 25% of people didn't know. That's scary. The reason it's scary is because of the rest, 32% of them knew it was over 2% a month, right? And 18% knew it was over 3% a month, right? Imagine that. You're 16 months through a project. You've had a torrid time. Everything's going late. There's been a global pandemic affecting the supply chain, right? And suddenly your lender puts you on 3% a month penalty interest rate. Right, that's the kind of thing that collapses projects. Right, you need to know these numbers. So don't be the 25% of people that don't know, okay, and don't be the 32% of people that do know and are agreeing to 2% plus a month. Okay, that is shocking. And the other dimension, which is slightly subtler to this, is, and I'll talk about it a bit later, is what we term as the property entrepreneur's bias. So someone might get in touch with us and say, hey, look, I've got this great scheme, got a plot of land, I'm going to build 6 new builds on it, okay? I'll be in and out in 12 months, right? So what some lenders will do is we'll say, great, okay, we'll grant you the loan for 12 months, knowing that you're not going to deliver in 12 months, it's going to take 18, and you'll go on to these penalty interest rates. As property people, we say, hey, look, let's call it 18 months. And if you pay back in 12 months, you're brilliant. You're a brilliant developer, but you're not going to pay any more. Okay. You're not going to pay for that 12 to 18 month period. So why don't we call it 18 months to give you that contingency, to give you that time? Okay. We're, you know, again, it's about bringing transparency into this market. Now, there's loads of other factors, and I'm not going to go through all of them, but just to highlight. So these are some of the things that we've seen. Other hidden fees. Arrangement fees quoted as a per annum percentage. What does that mean? Well, if your arrangement fee is 2% per annum and it's an 18-month project, well, that's 3%, right? So it doesn't sound like it's going to be 3%, but it is 3%. Your exit fees, so sometimes there's a 1% exit fee on these loans, as a percentage not of the loan, but of GDV. If it's a great project, you're paying half as much again that you thought. Interest charged quarterly. You go one day into the next quarter and you'll get a quarter's worth of interest charged to your account. Very high monitoring fees and professional services fees, because if you're doing a significant project, there'll be a monitoring surveyor coming in. Okay, and you'll need to cover that cost. And sometimes there are huge costs associated with that, more so than is fair and reasonable. Low management fees. Last time I looked at our business, we are effectively loan managers and we don't charge extra for that. That's the whole point. Penalty fees on top of penalty interest rates. I think you get the point here. There's plenty of things here. It's a problem. It's a real problem. And there's a lack of transparency in the sector. And that's why experienced developers are craving transparency. So my one thing for you to take away, if you're only taking one thing away, is read the contract, really know what you're getting into, and compare offers very, very carefully. And we can help you do that. We often do. Be wary. So We've talked about what's important to people, okay, and some of the pains that people have faced. And every good business turns around and says, right, we know the pains, let's solve them better than anyone else, okay? And that's when we develop this, okay? Our property development finance is property finance by property people. We get it. We're a partner, okay? We're not an ivory tower bank with a big stick. No, and this is what you should be looking for. So in any lender you're speaking to, really, really get to grips with. Do they understand property? Do they know that stuff will go wrong? Okay. Do they understand that sometimes, you know, if a pandemic happens, right, well, it's not your fault. Give some forbearance. Okay, how do people act back then? Right? Do they really understand what it's like to stick your spade in the ground and find stuff? Roman ruins or just a higher water table than expected. Okay, all of these, you know, property development is hard. Lots of stuff goes wrong. What you need is people that have been there. Our property director, for example, is 37 years where he's qualified. He's built over 5 million square foot of property. What he hasn't seen is not worth knowing about. But again, we've got that fundamental understanding of how difficult it is for you. We do that through delivering against the things that people say are a pain. So speed, ease, certainty, expertise, and transparency of finance. Okay. And the way we do that, which is a bit more detailed, you don't really need to know it, but we've built a market-leading technology platform to make us efficient. And we've got that real development expertise for the effectiveness of our this is a helpful partnership. So let's get on to some case studies. Let's get into let's see some property. That's all is the interesting thing. People often like to move away from Mike's charts on PowerPoint. So let's have a look at some pictures. So we basically cover all types of projects, okay, whether you're purchasing an auction, bridging purchasing, light refurb, heavy refurb, conversions, new build, they're quite normal, right? But then it gets interesting. Airspace development, modern methods, development of joint ventures. Joint ventures are such a powerful way to deliver development projects without putting cash in or huge cash in. It's a very, very, it's a great agreement structure to get projects done. So many different things. And I'll show you a few things, which is slightly more of the sort of funkier stuff that we do. So we fund major construction projects. So all of these, they're beautiful pictures. All of these are north of £4 million GDV, so gross development value. So end value over £4 million. So we do fund a load of beautiful, large projects, okay, which might suddenly say, oh no, mine's not beautiful or mine's not large or whatever. But the reason why we're associated with projects like this is that they get a lot of engagement on social media, so they get shared more widely and more widely and more widely, so more people see them. So people think, oh, Crowd Property only funds big, sexy, beautiful projects. But that's very much not the case. These are commercial to residential projects, which is obviously a huge trend right now. Ranjan will cover that later. And if you look at the middle row, on the right-hand side here, okay, that's not a sexy project, that's not a glamorous project, it's really ugly, okay? But what it is great real estate in the urban centre, okay? And that can be converted into excellent residential property. So it's not just the beautiful stuff. And then moving on, many, many HMOs and co-living projects. At the top left scheme, there is a 30-bed co-living scheme in Plymouth, which is a chapel conversion. It's absolutely stunning project. They set record room rates in that area. The one, the red house in the middle at the bottom there is a £100,000 student terrace house in Liverpool. Okay. So genuinely, any project we want to back, we show as much commitment, as much passion for. You know, start the conversation with us about any project. And if it, for any reason, wasn't something we'd be able to fund, we don't fund whole commercial, for example, we'd help you out and then we'd pass you on to someone, you know, that would be best to fund that. And, you know, Jack has a wide range of funders that he knows that for that kind of thing. So this is one project that we've just finished in Brighton. I'm just going to put this on. It's a 50-second clip. It just gives you a feeling. This is an airspace development project in Brighton. It's a little bit special. I always find myself finishing that video, realizing that I've barely seen any of the interior because the view is so stunning. Interestingly, that was a building that was an office block. Okay, it was a commercial to a residential conversion, and then an airspace development. And that airspace, I think, it was a £1.2 million flat, but absolutely stunning location. And you've got lots of complexities with airspace development. And one strategy that goes very well with airspace development is modular, modern methods of construction, right? And we are decades behind Scandinavia and Japan for using modern methods of modular construction for property in the UK. And this is one in Streatham that's just finishing off at the moment. It's 2.6 million GDV. And I'll just talk through this video. So this about a minute long video, but so this is the modules being delivered overnight. So it's about 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m. One night. And a few of us in the team went down there. So these modules were made in a factory in Eastbourne. They were driven up the M23 on those low loaders, up the A23. Anyone who knows Streatham's just sort of partway up the A23. Closed roads, which are Liam Court Road, and loaded off like this, so all overnight. Okay. Now these modules are amazing. That's about half a flat there. Right? The bathrooms are installed. The kitchens are installed. The bathrooms and the kitchens are tiled, right? They're tiled on the back of the lorry, right? And the boiler is in and fully plumbed in. Right? This is an incredible feat. An incredible way to develop. So what they did here was dig a basement out, two flats in the basement, then plonked modules on top, build the flats, link them together, finished them, rendered them, and they're pretty much ready to go. The reason that's powerful, lots of people think modular is just cheaper because it takes less time. Well, it's actually far more complex than that, because you still got the groundworks, you still got the cell time, etc. So it doesn't save you that much time. But what it does do is it minimizes all the subcontractors you have to have on site, right? You know, everyone's been on site where they've got the lecky, the plasterer, the kitchen fitter, the tiler, all of these people saying, nah, he's got to do that first, or who's doing that? That's not my job, or whatever. None of that is relevant here, because this is all on pretty much a production line in the factory. Right? It's fascinating. And one of the things is, property development is hard, stressful. This is one way to reduce that stress. So it's got to be a good thing if you want to get into projects. There are its challenges. The logistical challenges is sometimes a nightmare. We've had a lorry have to turn back because it didn't realize there were potholes where it needed to put its landing pads down, like loads of things like that. So, you know, new challenges, but not as big as some of the challenges of just fundamentally delivering the site. Now, this one takes airspace development and modular. Put it together. So if you see that gray bit at the top there, okay. So this was an airspace development where the module was just plonked on top, right? So that's factory made, plonked on top. This is a great way to densify urban centers using airspace. The easiest way to do that is not to have a building site on top of the building, it's to build it elsewhere and plonk it on top. Okay. So that's really, really powerful. And actually, I recorded a podcast with a modular manufacturer recently. And one of the stats that he came out with, which I thought was excellent, was a normal conventional sort of three-bed semi-detached house weighs about 130 tons. The modular equivalent of that weighs about 40 tons. So the really interesting thing with that is that if you're doing airspace development, you can plonk more on top than building it out of bricks and mortar that can be supported by existing foundations. So it's a really powerful method for airspace development. And actually this one, this is it's also low carbon housing delivery. This one, our Sustainability of the Year award last year for exactly that. It's a relatively low carbon way of delivering housing in central urban areas. Fantastic project, not without its challenges. This one, you saw a picture of it earlier. This is a 5 million GDV scheme. And this was done by a first-time developer. Now, we asked a lot of questions. You know, you don't normally get first-time developers rocking up with £5 million GDP deals. But actually, it was really impressive. So we look at the people, okay, and we back the people. This guy was a really smart guy. He had HMOs. He had he's a doctor. The differentiation was that he said to us straight up front, "I don't know how to develop." But all these people do. So into our office came his QS, his architect, his project manager, an incredible team of experience that he'd incentivized with equity in the deal, right? Really great structures. And that's how we got comfort around backing him. He's exited this. It was a stunning development in Somerset, finished in Bath Stone. Beautiful project. This one here was our project of the year last year. It doesn't look like much. Look, bottom left, it was an office building in Rushden. So why was it project of the year? Actually, these guys showed brilliant resilience. So what happened is they were developing this through the pandemic. And their lender, who I won't name, it's a big development lender, said, "We're stopping drawdowns on new projects." Because their source of capital just dried up. They had a single source of wholesale capital. And a lot of players, a lot of development lenders are like this. They have a single source of capital, and a lot of them pause lending, which means stopped lending through the pandemic, right? And their wholesale backers might have sort of pots of capital in other places like equity capital, et cetera, and that got volatile. So they said, just pause everything. Right? So these guys had their drawdowns stopped. And any of you who have developed will know that that destroys a project. Because you can't proceed, your contractors walk off site, et cetera. Anyway, these guys got in touch. 3 weeks later, we refinanced the loan. We initiated those drawdowns. We gave them time to finish considering all the supply chain challenges they were. These guys finished really early. It's a great project. They were great developers, and they were stitched up by their development finance company. So their resilience won the project of the year. But goes to show that, you know, in any market, it's like you've got to be really, really knowledgeable of who your backer is. And then just drawing to a close on these examples before I just give you a few tips before I run out of time and Jack kicks me off. So this is that chapel conversion in Plymouth. They turned this into a 30-bed co-living scheme. They bought this site for about £250,000. They spent £1.3 million on it. Set record room rates. It's most recently been refinanced at £2.7 million valuation with it full. Massive cash flowing. They've kept it. What a brilliant asset. Okay. We lent about 94% of that, of the cost in that project because of that structure, because we back all of the development costs and then we'll put 70% towards the purchase price as well. So a lot of the capital, vast majority of the capital came from us. Really successful scheme. You can see on the left-hand side, but also on the right-hand side, there's Philip and Mo. You know, that's what it was like inside. I mean, it was a real, it was a shell. It needed a lot of work and they did a brilliant job. So look, wrapping that up, what a hot projects that we're seeing at the moment. Well, we're seeing a lot of development exit and development finish and exit product demand because lots of people are hitting the penalty interest rates of other lenders. seeing a lot of airspace development, especially the planning, law change, monumental construction. Clearly, that's going to be that's just going to have a hot run through the next decade. And then stuff that will always be hot is, you know, your HMO and co-living finance stuff. Joint venture finance, those are the constructor joint venture deals, and we really help with this, especially about providing ideas, but also about making sure everyone's protected in the deal, especially the developer protected in the deal. So we're very supportive of those. And again, typically traditional sources of finance hate them because they don't understand them. And then special situations, kind of like anything else. And we've seen some cool stuff people come to us with. Hey, look, tired landlord, 10 single let Victorian houses. I want to buy them. I want to do a rolling refurb on all of them, switch them to HMOs, sell three, leave no cash in. Great. Wonderful. We'll work out that. So that sort of sits in our special situation. Right. I promised you some top tips. So I'm going to have to rapidly fire through this. So I'm going to go quick, right? So number one, be realistic about the numbers. Okay. Avoid the property entrepreneur's optimism bias. You know, you're only kidding yourself. You know, people are too optimistic often on cost, GDV, and time. Okay, we'll help. It's not a wrong answer. We'll just help with getting the right numbers. So we make sure that you are going into eyes wide open with what things will cost, how long it will take, etc. 55% of our applications get rejected because they don't stack. Okay, that's okay, right? We want to help you find the right deals. Don't take on a project that doesn't stack, because you'll be doing it for 18 months and you won't earn what you need to earn out of it. Okay, it won't give you the returns. It's really important. And you know, it's fine to look and assess bad deals and to talk to us about them. It'd be a second pair of eyes, and that's okay, because it's building up your reference set. We've had £10 billion worth of project applications, so we've got a huge reference set to say, do you know what, that's a cracking deal. Right, that's number one. Got to go quick. Get to know as quickly as possible. Okay, don't waste time on deals you're not going to do, right? And genuinely, we're here as a second pair of eyes on that. Reply early. Make sure you've done enough research to be realistic. We're not looking for you to spend 6 months just at exploratory stage and then come to us with a perfect PowerPoint deck and things like that, right? Just, bounce things off us. Be open and honest. It's fine to have preliminary numbers and estimates, etc. Again, our technology and data and analytics can help refine that. If it doesn't stack, forget it. Move on, right? Go and find one that stacks. You found one, you find another. And our application form is just 5 minutes long, because we don't ask for everything up front, right? And this is really important. Okay, we set this out to ask for the few bits that matter, that help start that conversation about your vision and help give you an early view of whether that stacks or not. Okay. And when you fill in that application form, you get some cool data back. Right? This data is so around your site, so specific to the site and specific to the size of project that you're doing. Okay. We'll then give you lists of service providers. So this one example here is a list of architects, contractors, and planners within 15-mile radius. Again, this filters on your location and the size of your project. And up top in the list is an architect, BM3 Architecture Limited. They've done 53 projects that are just like yours, right? That sounds like a good architect to talk to. So this is just data that comes out of all our analytics. So it's just helpful stuff that helps you build up your team of relevant people for that relevant project. And equally, we'll also give you a load of planning data that says, right, these are the things that are in planning at the moment or have recently been given planning around your area. So you can have a look at, and we look at this because this is about the supply in the market. Around on your road, even. Okay, so this is within last 12 months and within a mile radius. Okay, what's going to come on stream? When I'm looking to sell this, what's my competition? Okay, and that's really important. So it's sort of useful data in the application. So three. Help us to help you close the best deal possible. What does that mean, right? As I said, we've seen £10 billion worth of projects. If we turn around to you quite quickly and we'll get your terms in 24 hours and have a conversation about your vision, but if we turn around to you and say, that's a great deal, right? Relative to £10 billion worth we've seen, just drop everything and work on closing that deal. Forget everything, right? Because that's a cracker. You want to do that deal. It's a great deal. Just go and win the deal, and we can help do that. So the quicker we get things like your cost estimates and cash flow forecasts and things like that, it's helpful. Then we can get you to things like proof of funds to the agents, and we can give the vendor speed and certainty. We can be well ahead for you against the competition, because if it's a good deal, there'll be other people going. Be communicative and responsive. We'll have questions. They're genuinely helpful questions. We only ask things that you need to know anyway, right? And we'll get you the proof of backing. We'll get you funds and everything quicker than anyone else in the market to give you competitive advantage, right? We know what that's like. We know competitive situations. We know how to put you, our customers, ahead of everyone else in that. And that's a really important consideration. It's not just the project we look at. People are really, really important here. Okay. Property projects are difficult. What we want to see is we want to understand your motivation, your ambitions in property. We want to see people that haven't just thought, I know, I'll just go and do a property project now. Right? We want to see someone who's on a journey, okay, have motivation to get it done because they want to move progressively through bigger and bigger things. And we'll want to see the team that covers all the bases that you'll need. And that's fine. If you come to us with a team and we think, oh, actually, do you know what? Given all of this experience, you'll definitely need a project manager. You'll definitely benefit from it, right? That's not just to save our bacon. It's really because we believe that that will increase the success of your project, okay? So all of this is not just admin. Right. It is. We're not a tick box lender. We're not just asking you questions to tick our boxes. We're asking you questions because genuinely you'll need to have those. Right. You'll need to have the cash flow model. You'll need to have the cost model. All of these things. Right. And for yourself, for planning the project and your own conviction. We're here to help you achieve your vision. So look, let's have an open dialogue about everything. And, we want to see great success from your project. Final bit I split into two here. Right? So never forget the human factors of working with people. And this is really important. Okay. So look, just be open, honest, and transparent. Okay. It'll be a better relationship for doing that. With all the information, we can be a trusted advisor, not just a transactional computer says no bank. If you're easy to get hold of, we can be quicker. You can be more advantaged in bidding for that project. Right? But really interestingly, when I spoke to my team, they said, yeah, some people get a bit stroppy, right? And it just doesn't come across very well. And so we don't care. We're thick skin. That's fine. You know, you're speaking to people who are really recommending your project to our investment committee internally. But much more importantly, actually, if you're a bit stroppy, then do you know what worries us? It's not about the dealings with us. It's actually about how do you motivate your contractors and subcontractors on site and make people engaged and empowered and really wanting to back you, your project, and deliver, right? So think about that in that, and especially your conversations with funders. It's like, you know, this is one of the things that we look at, and it's one of the things that many people look at. Just, you know, we want to see people who inspire people to deliver their projects. And this was a straight quote from one of my case managers. I love a proactive, friendly developer who also wants to work with us as part of their team and sees the bigger picture in that. Now, I'm very conscious that we are just hit 3 p.m. So I'm going to finish off by, I'm not going to show that video, and say, look, we've just launched CP Capital, which is mezzanine finance that sits above our senior finance, that basically gives you more money for your projects. We're very excited about this. So just get in touch through the usual routes, through crowdproperty.com, through Jack, etc. And we can, where there is that capital gap, we can help that with our CP Capital mezzanine finance product. And there's lots of benefits of having those two from the same place. which I won't go through now, but basically you're dealing with the same people and single costs of legals and monitoring and all of this. You want to deal with fewer people in your development. And that's it. So that's a CP Capital product, mezzanine finance for property developers. We're very excited about that potential offer. So just to wrap up, you know, I think from what I've sort of told you today, we're all about the customer. Okay? And that's why we're so widely recognized for excellence. And that's how our growth is going to happen. It only happens with that. We do a clubhouse session every Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. We just talk to property development stuff, right in the detail. Rupert and Andrew run the session, hugely experienced. I actually listen in. I sometimes participate, but I listen in because it's fantastic content. So if you want some a fix of property development chat on Tuesday and Thursday, then do drop by our clubhouse room. And that's it. We're property financed by property people, and we're just changing the game of funding property projects, and that's why we're growing, and we've backed £500 million worth of deals. So all I can say is thanks for listening. Natasha and Jack, wonderful. I really appreciate you inviting me on here. And
We might have some questions for you, Mike, Natasha.
Okay, well, I'd say I thought it was absolutely fantastic, Mike, because I think you probably mentioned the word customer. I don't know, I lost count of how many times you mentioned it, which is a good sign, yeah? And the fact that, you know, serving customers brilliantly, and I think what you did superbly was showed the empathy, because I think that's the most daunting thing about property, is you hit the nail on the head, you know, these are painful projects and it's quite scary. And it must be absolutely terrifying, I think, to be going for investment and knowing that every time you get a delay, and I also say thank you for the inspiration. I wish when I had my kitchen done, someone could have just come with a box, pre-prepared, and plonked all the tiles, all the cabinets in there, none of these smelly builders in. It's fantastic.
It's amazing. It's an incredible way to build stuff.
Oh, that's awesome. I really want one. I want a new toy. But I was just interested, you touched on it, and I'm going to come to some questions from the audience. You know, clearly we have come through COVID, you know, that the pandemic is massive. There isn't a business that I've worked with that hasn't been impacted by it. How has that, you know, I guess the big wobble people must have felt coming through that pandemic and the uncertainty, and now we've got the situation in Ukraine, you know, how is that affecting your customers and the level of risk they're prepared to take?
It's a great question. So during the pandemic, what we did was, a lot of our commercial analysts just did a load of research into all of the things that are going on. We pulled stuff together. We spoke to a load of our developers. We pulled together this big sort of fact sheet of like just FAQs. It's like, right, how do I do personless handover of materials, right? And we had an operating procedure on that. What are the lead times I should be worried about, right? You know, doors, bricks, tiles are now at this, order them earlier on. And all of these hints and tips, we shared that across all of the developers we work with, right? And then some came back to us and said, oh, there's this one as well that I managed to solve by doing this. It's like, great, distribute that to all of our people. So genuine, you know, I've never seen a bank do that, right? And, you know, generally it's about really sort of understanding, putting ourselves in the shoes of those developers who are going through uncertain times. Can I have people on the site or not? You know, the first 6 weeks that was unclear. Even though construction was allowed to continue. So there are loads of just hints and tips. And that's why, you know, again, having a genuine partner of a lender and people that understand property and what you're in, there's some of the benefits from that. But we fundamentally backed our developers and supported them in all ways possible through a tough and uncertain period.
I think because you were saying that very much that you're trying to achieve their vision, whatever your vision is, that's where you're there to help them. So for a lot of people, this is quite tricky, even just working out that bit, right? What they really, really want from it. How can you help people when they come to you? Because you log on, yeah, and you fill in your details and you've got a kind of list of things you can click through if you want to know, joint ventures go here and whatever else. Can you help people who are kind of navigated and not entirely sure really what they want, but they know they want to do something?
So it's quite funny. So I'll give you an exact example of that. So we released a planning game finance product last year, which is sort of pre-planning permission, which is riskier by definition, right? And we spend almost all our time with people who apply for that product, telling them they don't want that product, right? Okay, because they come to us and they say, look, oh, brilliant, I can buy pre-planning. It's like, And we sort of say to them, well, why do you want to buy pre-planning? Why don't you structure a deal like this with the vendor? Because it de-risks it for you. You're taking less risk. Yes, we're taking less risk, but you're taking less risk as a developer. So it's so funny how we just literally say, don't do that, right? Think about structures like this. And obviously it's hard to convince vendors into subject to planning deals or exclusivity or options or joint ventures or whatever. But we can help support that by saying, well, look, you as a developer can bring the effort, the finance, we can prove that with backing and things like that. And you can have a different conversation with a vendor because we've been there, we've done those conversations, they're hard, right? But we can help give you that that ammunition to help with that conversation. So in many, many different ways, but that's probably the most tangible example.
That's really nice. So you genuinely have kind of been there, bought the T-shirt. That's what we're definitely getting from you. The question online from Margaret was asking, she has a small amount available to invest. You're just about 15 to 20K. Can she become an investor?
Yes. So the majority of our capital comes from institutions, global asset managers. We put some of each loan on our platform. So people can invest through an ISA or a SAS pension or just direct, and they pay conventional tax. The one challenge is that it's so popular, so that it drips feeds. The best thing to do is set it up on auto investor that puts it in sort of 20 odd projects or something. Right, and that builds you really nice diversification of risk. I have to say at this point, we are FCA regulated. Capital is at risk. We work very hard to protect that, and we have an exceptional track record in that. And we take first charge security against the asset.
That's perfect. Now, the other two questions, I think they came up before you whizzed through your charts, but just to clarify, because there was two questions from Dr. Yogesh, which was, one is, do you do mezzanine finance? Which I think you now said yes. And it was a bit of just a clarity that you're not, is that the CP thing? Is this, they're saying, are you changing your name to CP or is that a different property? So you have the two business offices?
It's to differentiate the two products effectively. So it's Crowd Property is effectively the senior lending product. So the majority of the capital that replaces the bank, the mezzanine bit is delivered through a product line that we're calling CP Capital. There's no rebranding going on. It's just to differentiate those tiers, fundamentally because those tiers are different risk profiles. Senior lending is a different risk profile to second charge or mezzanine finance. And we needed to get clarity over those differences, both on the borrower side, so we can acquire customers through the mezzanine finance of people who need mezzanine finance or want it, and then also for investors and institutions. So it's very clear.
Yeah, perfect. Were there more questions? We've got that. There's another question come in. Will you pay higher rates on mezzanine to investors?
Yes, it's high risk, so
it will be
commensurate rates with that risk. So yes,
yeah, definitely. Got a hand up from my previous fabulous co-host.
Thank you, Natasha. Thanks, Mike, for that brilliant presentation. Just got some questions. With new developers, I'm just wondering, what would you advise they can do in terms of increasing their chances of getting finance because they're new on the market? Is it JVing with the builder, what kind of things would help?
The big thing is team. Okay, experience. I mean, development's hard, right? Lots of stuff goes wrong. Different stuff goes wrong. Every development you do. People who have experience on your team are invaluable, not to tick our boxes, but genuinely to help you get through the project successfully. We're very happy to talk that through with people that come to us and they say, okay, I've got this deal, I've got this experience, I might have someone else in my team working for me or whatever. We're happy to have the dialogue to say, well, what you really need is an employer's agent to manage a contractor or a project manager, or you need title on a QS or whatever it is. Again, this is not a apply, fingers crossed, it's either a yes or a no. It's genuinely, it's the apply is the starting of the conversation, and we can all work together to maximize the chance of success of your project.
Brilliant. And when you say apply early, how early are you saying would you want us to apply for funding?
Well, good question. Don't just send us a right movement. but you know, give it some thought. Look at the project, so run some costs on it, run some ideas on it, you know, form a vision of what's your plan A, and come to us at that point, and we'll help you know, make sure you're thinking through all the options on it. We'll help validate a bit of the cost. We'll help look through the cost model and say, look, this is a grade two listed, you're underbaked on this cost, or you haven't got the drainage provision in there, or utilities or whatever. Again, it's that sort of conversation piece. That, interestingly, that Plymouth chapel conversion into 30 beds co-living scheme, they came to us 17 months before we completed that deal, right? I hasten to add, it's not because we took 17 months to make a decision. there are some people in the market that would. But it was because they came to us super early, right, when they were striking the JV and option agreements with the vendor, and just said to us, look, this is how we're structuring it. We don't need our finance now, but does that make sense? Does that mean it's probably, you know, stacks up for you and the finance, and, you know, when we strike on that option? And that was a really good conversation. And sure enough, we fully supported that throughout. And we actually talked to them quite a lot during that 17-month period to help them prep it. So there was a real sort of value-add relationship there.
That's really good, because then if you have an idea of how much we can get, we know how much to put in as an offer. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, we will also look at market value to lend against, which we risk. Yeah. It's not necessarily the purchase price being paid. I'll give you one other example of someone that came to us late, right? So someone got in touch with us the day after they'd been to auction. You can guess where this story's going. They bought two Victorian houses that they were going to convert into HMOs. It was actually featured on Homes Under the Hammer. And they were a bit worried because they had no finance in place. So the Gablin got down, they've exchanged, they put down 10%, and the clock's ticking. They had 27 days to complete that. So we said to ourselves, right, well, let's give ourselves 10 days, because nobody sets the deadline on 27 days, right? Because nobody needs more stress in their lives. Things, you know, stuff will take longer or whatever. Anyway, we had the funds in their account after 6 days. Or in their solicitor's account, I should say. Because it wouldn't go to them directly.
Wow, that's fast.
Okay, amazing. Brilliant. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you. Jack, did you have one more question? There's one just tiny question in there, which is just a quick one, just to clarify. Someone's already an investor on Crowd Property, so you know, clearly very interested in your mezzanine offer. So will the CP products come up like the other investment products, or do they have to have a new account? So it's just a practical thing.
It's actually a bit of both. cpcapital.com, right, is the website, cpcapital.com. And if you've already got a Crowd Property account, you can enter in your Crowd Property account details. We link the wallets, you need to move them between them. Okay, it's super easy to migrate between them, but we've separated the sort of the project releases, if you like, and the application process between mezzanine and senior. So a bit of both there.
Brilliant, thank you. Sorry, cut you off there, Jack.
No worries. Thank you, Mike. For those who are thinking of applying, when you go to the application stage, you'll see an option there where it says, how did you hear about us? You'll actually find the option of Property Entrepreneurs Network, which is PEN. Choose that and Mike will look after you. Obviously, his team will look after you. Mike is a busy man, but his team will look after you. And I do honestly believe, to the core of my being, and I've done some business with Mike, and there's some business, you know, we are working with Mike alongside with. But I genuinely believe that it's a rare combination of property people actually providing property finance. And the, you know, Mike, in some cases I've had where I actually have requested to get a decision within 24 hours, and they have come back with either a yes or a no, whatever that might be, depending on if the deal stacks. They have literally come back within 24 hours. And that is a speed I personally do not know. I'm a finance broker myself. There's absolutely no one out there who will come up with that kind of speed, especially when it comes to development loans, bridge loans. There's absolutely no one out there. So they do stand out, and they are absolutely amazing to deal with. And you're going to find a lot of lenders who are not necessarily pleasant to deal with. But their team, Crowd Properties team, is absolutely amazing. I think you guys know the team behind chairman is Simon Zucci, who spoke earlier alongside us as well. And then we have Mike. He's absolutely amazing. Mike, thank you. Again, when I'm listening, I do get goosebumps, especially people who inspire me, and you are one of them. You know, building a tech platform of that caliber, you know, being able to get to, you know, close to £500 million lending, that is a one hell of a scale. And it's not easy growing to a team of 8+ in multiple countries. So well done. And yeah, reach out to the application page of Crowd Property and go from there. Thank you. Thank you,
Jack. Really appreciate it. Thank you for listening, everyone.